Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Hans Shot First podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in depth about common movie moments
from my dead body,
with the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we're talking about RRR.
Nacho, 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 nacho.
Which stands for Rise, Roar, Revolt.
Also, water, story, fire.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it does.
R is a very versatile letter.
Mm-hmm.
This movie came out in 2022, so pretty recent. Directed by S.S. Rajamouli, written by, bear with me folks here, Vijayendra Prasad, J.J. Ramali, and Sai Madhav Bura, I don't know if you roll the R there, Bura. In that language.
Yeah.
starring N.T. Rama Rao Jr., Ram Charan, others, Alia Bhatt, Olivia Morris, I think I got that one right, Ray Stevenson,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Allison Duty. From Temple of Art, one of the movies. Last Crusade.
Yeah, Last Crusade.
Ilsa.
Yeah.
All I have to do is scream.
AJ Devon, I don't know.
Ray J. Stevenson?
AJ, not Ray J.
Oh, AJ.
And the rest.
Yeah.
Scott, this was, or no, Alex, this was yours, right?
No, this is mine.
Yes.
Oh, this is Alex? That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Alex, what's your history with this movie?
This one, since the beginning of, almost the beginning of 2022, this was recommended on Netflix, and I put it on my watch list, you know, and I have a ton of shit on there. And every once in a while, I'll actually pick something from it. And one night, I didn't know what to watch, and it was still kind of middle late, but not really. I wasn't sleepy yet. It was like 9 o'clock. So I'm like, you know what? All right, I don't know what to watch. And this popped up on my list again. So let's watch RRR. And it just blew my mind, like pretty much from the start. And yeah, I didn't end up going to sleep until like 2 a.m. I was so pumped. I haven't been this pumped since Equilibrium.
Since Equilibrium, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Movie got me jacked up.
Scott, what's your history with this movie?
So I heard a lot of things on different podcasts about this. I got on a lot of like things you should be watching lists, and you're just getting a lot of buzz. I've seen some of these Bollywood epics before.
Tollywood.
That's true. Mm-hmm. At least in bits and pieces, and they're all just completely bananas. So that's. What I was expecting here, but with this kind of extra pedigree, and then, you know, the song nominated for the Academy Award, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. There was just a lot of buzz around this movie, so I was looking forward to catching it. It was still fairly recent. And, we'll get into a minute, I guess, about where we watched this, because I think it's worth mentioning, or having a small discussion about it.
So this is the first time you watched it, though?
Yes, yes.
Oh. All right. I thought this was the moment where you're going to spoil all our list and just tell us everything.
I mean, I could.
kind of the same thing as Scott. I've heard a lot about this, at least when it first came out, and I did kind of forget about it. And then during the Oscars when they did the dance number on the Oscars. I was like, oh yeah, I remember this movie. I should go, but I kind of forgot. And then when Alex nominated it, I was happy to finally have a reason to watch it. And it was one of those where I wanted to watch it, but you see a 3-hour runtime. It's a foreign film. I gotta get psyched up for that, okay? I'm not gonna lie. So pushed it off, but I'm glad we did it for this. So yeah, before we get into it, I guess what Scott just said, I think we all watched it on Netflix. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go first. Well, first of all, it doesn't have it in the native language on Netflix, right? What is it? The Telugu?
Telugu.
Telugu. Which stinks. And Alex said he watched it in Hindi with American subtitles. I tried that, but then their mouths didn't match, so then it wasn't worth it for me to do that.
Yeah, that's why I messaged you guys. Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. So then I put it in American subtitle or dubbing, which I don't know if you like, and I had a little bit of a hard time still. So then I put on the dubbing or the subtitles with it, but then that didn't match. The writing was not matching what the English was saying.
Yeah.
So that made it even worse. I'm like, all right, I'm just doing this in English dubbing and just deal with it. And luckily, it didn't. I got the movie. Didn't really ruin it for that. A lot of action scenes, so it didn't really matter. And so that's how I experienced it. What about you guys?
I did pretty much the same thing you did, Jeff. Like, I started in Hindi thinking that would be the proper language, the voice language. And yeah, found out that that was, after a quick Google search, that wasn't a thing. Funnily enough, the dubbing, they did a much better job on the script for the dubbing than they did for the subtitles. The subtitles were awful, at least when they matched up with the English. yeah. Like, they didn't make any sense, at least not for, like, a Western audience. Like, the dubbing, like at the very end, like, I laughed out loud when he's like, so what do we do now? And the dubbing said, be my brother. And the subtitle said, be my teacher. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, somebody, like, should be, like, right. I think I remember reading some trivia that the director, the producer, I'm not sure who, was pissed that Netflix didn't release the Telugu version of this. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of horseshit that they didn't do that. Like, I mean, the subtitle is shit anyways. You might as well have thrown it on top of the Telugu. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
And what does it hurt you to do it? I don't understand. Like, what?
Unless I mean, there was some like release deal where they're like, oh, well, we'll only do like the Telugu or whatever in this region, and then everybody else can have anything else. But like, it just did the movie a big disservice, I think.
Yeah.
And like, there's points when like they made some weird dubbing choices. Like, I'll wait for Alex to go before I say more on that. But
I mean, so you kept both on. You kept English dubbing and English subtitles on the whole time.
Yeah. I think at that point I was just too lazy to like get rid of the subtitles.
That's lazy.
Yeah. It's lazier than Teamsters.
Jesus. All right. Alex, how did you watch it?
I watched it in Hindi.
Okay.
I just, you know, bit the bullet, just watched it in Hindi with subtitles. And yeah, some of the stuff was a little bit weird, but
a lot more sense with the English dubbing. I'll tell you that.
I'll watch it like that then. Or I'll just get the 4K Ultra HD version and make sure that it has
the yeah.
original language.
My Netflix said it was Ultra 4K, so I don't know about that part. I mean, it looked really good. And I know it's always compressed. But I don't
stream that. You know how many gigabits that is?
Yeah.
Go, rich guy over here. I'm going to hit my limit with Cox.
Yeah, you never get to hear your Cox limit.
Hey-o.
You better hear it, folks. Alex's Cox don't work.
It works, but not too good.
All right. It's time for our list, which is... Wow. Fast forward.
It's going to be a 3-hour podcast, folks.
All right. As usual, we're going to talk about 7 items from the movie. Alex, which number 7?
My number 7 is the animal CGI. It doesn't, sometimes the rendering doesn't look great, but the animals themselves actually move really well. They're very well animated. At least believable enough for this movie.
It was like Sci-Fi Channel level.
It was higher than that. I would say the quality was higher than that.
Agree to disagree.
They were obviously CG, but yes. I think they, when it mattered, they made it look better. Like a couple of the tiger shots at the very beginning looked good, mm-hmm. especially when he's like the tiger, he's holding up a tiger and he's like, you know, saying sorry that you have to do this. Like the personal moments think were good. The high action, you know, them jumping out of the cages and that one scene, like,
yes,
that looked, but I mean, he's throwing a cheetah around. Like, who cares? Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
don't get me wrong. It looks like it's still effective.
I said, for this movie, they were believable.
Yeah.
Not realistic. Believable.
Yeah.
I just like that they put the disclaimer at the very beginning of the movie. It's like, no, we know. We know.
Yeah.
We know they're CGI.
We're not going to actually do this to real animals. Yeah.
I mean, even if we were dumb enough to think they would, they don't look like real animals.
I mean, you know, like, they had to add that on to the other 7 minutes of pre-credit credits.
Yeah, that was weird. All right, Scott, number seven.
Number seven was a gag of, at the end, in the big forest fight, when the arrow goes through the tree. So he shoots an arrow through the tree, Ram does. And it almost hits the British soldier's eye. The British soldier, like, takes a small step back, takes a sigh of relief, and Ram jump kicks the arrow through the rest of the tree and into the guy's head.
I thought just like in real life.
That was fucking awesome. Like, yep. it's so bizarre, like, the conventions of some of these Bollywood movies, where it's so, like, wholesome and chaste, and then all of a sudden there's just these, like, punctuations, these casual punctuations of shocking violence. But yeah, the arrow going through the guy's head, that made me giggle. So that's my number seven.
Nice. My number seven is finally somebody more evil than Nazis in
the British. Yeah.
Brits are the new Nazis.
Yeah. Oh, this is my number six, but yeah.
This is what happens.
Don't get me wrong. Nazis are terrible, awful people, but it's been done a lot. It has been done, obviously, but I haven't seen it quite like this. And I have more to say about how they set him up. But yeah, it was just good to have... Little jolly England, super evil bastards.
Who knew that, like, hundreds of years of colonialism would lead to people thinking that they're dicks?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, the whole time I'm watching this, like, yeah, right on. We did the same thing to these Brits. Fuck them. Get out of our country.
We had our own moment of independence. Yeah. With Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Matthew Broderick. Wait, that was a Civil War. Never mind.
Careful, Ninja.
Against our own selves. But anyway, yeah, just having the Brits be the bad guys. And they were bad guys.
Yeah, they were.
All right, Alex, number six.
It just says on my list, it's fucking colonists.
Colonists.
Yeah, that's pretty much my number six. Yeah, they're so... over the top. I'd love to hate a good villain is one that I just love to hate. I hated these people.
They're cartoonishly evil.
Yes.
They're like propaganda level.
Yeah. When Duty, like, throws, she just happens to be carrying the extra spike. Yeah, that
made me laugh out loud. I'm like, well, didn't quite make my list, but I noted down, where the fuck did she get that?
It's probably her sex dungeon, because those Brits are freaky. Club Wonder Sex.
As soon as that happened, I'm like, oh, she's going to get a very bad death. And to be honest, she really didn't. I thought her death was going to be much
worse. It was kind of poetic, because she also got caught up in, like, the barbed wire.
Yeah. But still. Yeah. When they did that scene, and she's like, I want more blood. He did, like, I was like, oh, God, she's going to get the worst. And,
mm-hmm.
All right, Scott, number six.
Yeah, number six, my notes, cartoonishly evil villains, comma, Brits.
There we go.
Yeah, like, we're all the same thing. Like, I had the exact same thought as you, Jeff. Like they're treating these like they're the Nazis. Just, like, anything mm-hmm. goes here. Like, there's, like, one good British person in the entire movie. Like, the mm-hmm. one girl. Like, everybody else is just, like, just completely apathetic at best. Just evil. Yeah, just constantly kicking women in the stomach. Like, it's just... Oh, man. It's good stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. All right. My number six, it has... all the action scenes not going as expected. So I think this is coming from a Westerner watching Hollywood movies and mm-hmm. all the scenes. You expect a certain thing to happen, and it was always just... It was similar, but just twisted enough that I was always... I was never ahead of this movie. I mean, at one point, okay, these guys are together, and they're going to find out they're really enemies and blah, 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 and they're probably going to come at the end. Like, okay, fine. Yeah. But how all that stuff happened, it wasn't as I expected. And... the very beginning, which I have more to say about later, but when you're introduced to Ram and he's out there fighting all the thousands of soldiers, like, it wasn't, he was getting overrun, and then he didn't just, like, pop up and throw his arms in the air and they all just go flying away. No,
yeah,
like,
well, it wasn't an 80s feat of
Schwarzenegger. Yeah, it wasn't a Schwarzenegger moment.
Although there were 80s feats of strength in this movie.
Yes, there were. But it was just every single time, like, I was like, oh, this, okay, this is where he's going to do this. And no, that's not what happened. And just, so I just really enjoyed that. And that being, like, the introduction scene.
Yeah, it was pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the action scenes and then just scenes in general just not going just quite as I expected. Because we're all used to this certain formula and they were using different math over there.
Yeah. And metric, they're on the metric system. So.
The Brits again, yeah.
Yeah.
It's British Empire Strikes Again.
Colonists.
They're not on the imperial system? Like we still are? So they, we didn't get out of this damn country.
God, I laughed out loud at the end when they had the close-up of the sun never sets in the British Empire and it's just drenched with blood dripping down. Symbolism.
Yeah.
All right. Alex, number five.
My number five is, this movie is... very well balanced, because a lot of this movie is like over the top. Like over the top action, over the top melodrama.
A lot of it.
But certain directors or writers in the wrong hands, like a script like this and acting like this could go overboard. So, you know, especially when a 3-hour plus runtime, the audience would just get like sick of it. And it's like, okay, this is over the top. We get it, you know, but this movie does a really good job of just balancing it out like perfectly so that it keeps you interested, like from beginning to end. It was great.
Didn't need to be 3 hours. And I'm not going to be able to talk me into that.
Oh, I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, and just, I mean, it's over top bromance, over top.
Oh, I have a lot more to say about the bromance.
Yeah.
Do you know? I agree with you, Alex. Without spoiling more lists, I just guess I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yes.
Scott, number five.
Number five is the impromptu dance number in the middle.
Oh, it's much higher on my list. I loved it.
Yeah, same. That's my number two.
Speaking of over the top,
thank you.
Yeah, I'll save most of it for you guys. But I was like, yeah, this definitely feels like a Bollywood movie. And then all of a sudden they're dancing. By the way, my calves are getting tired. Like watching those just guys. Watching them. Oh my god. Yeah. Like. I realized there was like cuts and breaks and stuff in that as they're actually filming, but still,
right? Yeah,
like Jeebus. And I did like just they just had the random British fop dandy who's like flamenco, and then yeah. So yeah, I'll let you guys talk about it more other than to say that Ram, for all of his shortcomings, is a hell of a wingman.
Yeah,
yeah, hell yeah.
All right. So my number five, and just, it's a very, I don't know, the cinematography, just very bright, and just good use of my TV, get nice bright colors, crisp. I could tell what was going on.
That like felt like definitely like, so if the CG felt cheap, the way they filmed it did not. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, just bright, lots of color, lots of just crispness. I want to say that fight scenes, you always knew what the heck was going on. Even when he's in the crowd of thousands of people, you could still knew where he was, and it just, I really loved it. It ain't a fucking Jason Bourne movie, I'll tell you that, or any of this other stuff. Yeah, loved it. Scott or Alex or four?
Oh, already up to me, huh? Yeah, let's talk about the runtime. I have it in the middle because, yeah, it seems daunting. 3 hour plus runtime. But, like, the first time I watched this movie, it was already kind of late. And I was like, okay, I'm only going to watch this half of this movie, and then I'll watch half, you know, the next day. And I was so hooked that I just kept on watching it. And by the time it was over, I was like, oh, crap, it's 2 a.m. Oh, my gosh. So it didn't, I guess Bollywood movies have always been kind of long. They've always had, like, 3 to 4 hour run times. It's like, the norm, as far as I can tell. So it's like where, I guess where a Hollywood movie would go, you know what, to maximize profits, let's separate this into three movies, we'll make it an action trilogy and release it at these dates specifically. And Bollywood is like, fuck that, man, you're getting all three movies right now. You're getting the Lord of the Rings extended edition in one go. And you're going to like it. And I did.
Yeah, I can't say that it didn't feel a little long to me, because there were definitely times where I'd pause it and I'm like, shit, I still have 2 hours left.
Yeah, it happened to me.
So it definitely, but it didn't feel like a 3 hour movie, right? I felt movies we've watched that were an hour and 30 minutes feel way longer than this, but I can't say it was a brisk 3 hours either. So I don't know, I'll put it somewhere in the middle, and maybe the second or third time I watch this, if I do, we'll see if that's a better judge of it or not, right? Like, I can watch Lord of the Rings special editions, no problem, never feel long. But then, you know, I've gone back to watch some of these Avenger movies. I'm like, oh, okay, it's a little long.
Yeah.
So.
That was brisk for me. That's brisk, baby.
All right. And I don't know if people are going to get mad. If you keep saying Bollywood, we know it's Tollywood.
Tollywood,
yes. I don't know if people are going to get that upset. But I didn't know that was a thing. I had to, like, research it. And I guess it's just Southern Indian movies is what I'm hearing or reading. So, yeah. Anyway, Scott. Number four.
My number four is the whipping scene. It's in the middle of my list, and that's about where I came out on it. On the one hand, it's brutal. It felt very different. Like, you wouldn't see this in, definitely not in an American film. At least one that wasn't a musical, anyways.
I was just gonna say,
or the part where he Jesus. Singing.
I was thinking Passion of the Christ or Braveheart.
Where, you know, you would see the torture, but I meant like the song, like the
History of the World Part One.
Yeah. So
the, like, Inquisition.
But like, I would argue, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in any of the Japanese movies that we've seen. The Korean movies, certainly not any of the other foreign, French movies. It felt like something unique to this sort of, again, it's convention. It's not even like these Indian movies, I wouldn't even call them like a genre necessarily in themselves, but, in a different movie, it would have felt very, I don't know.
Like, out of place.
Yeah, it felt out of place, like a little too
wouldn't belong.
Precious.
Yeah.
It just here it works, but it is something. There's something off-putting about that song in the middle, and it goes on forever. my one criticism of that scene is it goes on forever.
He had a lot of hearts and minds to sway.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, he definitely gets whipped, especially when they pull out the whatever the hell Ilsa Whatever that thing was.
Yeah, what the fuck would you call that?
I don't know, it was like a nails just like through it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a cat of nine tails or anything like that. It was just really fun. It was the Thorn Whip from Simon's Quest.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So I know that reference.
I get that.
But yeah, it was just a very weird scene. And went on a little too long, but it was definitely like it had my attention. Like so there it is in the middle. Like it's worth noting.
Yeah. So speaking of Allison Duty, when she first shows up, like she's like right in there at the very beginning. I thought it was Catherine Zeta-Jones at first.
I could see that.
Because recently they're kind of both in their heyday don't look anything alike. As they've aged, I think they're starting to look a little bit alike.
A little bit.
All right, on to my number four. And this, there's a lot of over the top scenes in this movie. And this, I don't know. I'm saying this is the best one, or not the best one, the most over the top. It's when the two guys meet for the first time to save the boy. Jesus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's Hallmark Bollywood right there. Or Tollywood, sorry.
That was incredible.
With a couple of hand signals from a bridge a quarter of a mile away, and they go with this elaborate plan to save this kid, and then with the flag and the ultimate handshake. I mean, that's one step below, maybe even above Arnie and Apollo.
The underwater handshake.
Is that Jesus, they saved the shit out of that kid.
It's so like wildly inventive and nonsense at the same time. Like it's, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, just it was cool. I was still, maybe we could talk about this more about later. Like, these guys are the only ones in the movie that do anything supernatural, right? So I thought maybe they were some, maybe that's what you're trying to, some.
Oh, I'll get to that in my next.
They kind of explain it through song.
Yeah.
We'll get to it in my mixed list.
Okay, sorry. Point. Sorry about that.
God damn it.
But anyway, over the top saving the kids scene is my number four. Alex, what's your number three?
My number three is the jungle action sequence at the end. And yes, end.
That's my number two. Yeah.
And as Scott mentioned, I have never seen a movie that explains the backstory of a character through song while there's bloody violence going on everywhere. That was incredible. Oh my God, I had a smile from ear to ear. It was so joyful. Something I've never heard or experienced before in my entire life. But basically, yeah, I'll save the detailed explanation for Scott since it's higher on your list. But yeah, they explained, like, they do this exposition through song, and it was incredible. And I'm really glad that I had, although not perfect subtitles, but I could understand what was what was going on. It was great.
Okay, well, one of you guys better explain it to me, because the American dubbing was almost a little hard to understand, because it was almost a little muted compared to the rest of the audio. I didn't get, but
it's because the song was still in. I keep forgetting the language. Totally, so you could only if you had the subtitles could you understand what was going on through the song.
One more note about the
that's true.
The dubbing, they made some really weird choices. Like, whenever Bima is is talking to
Beam.
Jenny. Whenever he's talking to Jenny, he's like speaking perfect English and she doesn't understand him. I'm like, whoever did this, you're an asshole. Like,
That's true. Yeah. How could you not understand him? And I'm like, oh yeah, because she's not speaking English. Yeah,
that kind of pissed me off. Also, I'm looking at the not for nothing. I'm looking at the IMDb page. Like, all these characters have different names than what appeared in the movie. Like, I don't know which one's right. Like the main love interest for Ram, like her name is Sita, S-I-T-A instead of Sita. Like, Beam is just Beam instead of Beema. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
I thought they were saying Beam in the movie, and then I also thought they were saying Sita.
Yeah.
Might have been spelled differently, but I wasn't reading it, so I don't know.
Okay, they were saying Sita. Okay. Maybe I was just weird in my head. Anyways. It's confusing.
And it was Jenny, not Jennifer, or the really long name. Don't call me sir, call me Jenny, or whatever he thought her name was. Yeah. That was funny. All right. Did you just do yours, Alex, or Scott, or no?
That was my number three.
Okay, so Scott, number three.
My number three is The Wholesome Bromance. I've never seen a movie that spent more time on building up the relationship between two men in a platonic way.
Yeah.
But they also filmed it like a romance. but I appreciate it. The movie had the guts to be like, these are two men that are like, that grow to love each other, but aren't in love with each other. Although I did laugh out loud at one point in the middle of that montage. Well, a couple times, but one of the times I laughed out loud was when Ram is sitting out on like a balcony and like wistfully looking at his necklace, and like, Beema gets up like right in his face, like totally in his personal space. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's from my like love interest. And it's like, oh, they had to insert this just so that they were like, okay, these guys are straight. Like, this guy has a girlfriend. Like,
the other part that he puts his hand on his lap too when he asks him that question.
Yeah, yeah. The other part that made me laugh was explaining the story through song. Like at one point when they're like racing, when he's on the motorcycle and he's on the horse, and the mm-hmm. song crescendos with like, will the friendship be broken up by betrayal one day? Literally explaining the plot. Like, it's not the first time
so
the
good.
Does that. I was like, oh,
so
God.
Good.
See, I missed that stuff because I didn't have the subtitles on. So. Maybe that's for the best.
Like, again, Bollywood, it's like, we're just going to explain everything in song. Like,
you need
to pay attention. But again, it's just oddly wholesome. Like, I don't remember seeing anything like it. Like, we've definitely seen like buddy movies and buddy cop movies and mm-hmm. where they become friends. Like, the closest thing I could even think of was like later on in the Lethal Weapon series where you kind of see, Raj you see Riggs over at Raj's house. And he's kind of part of the family. But, like, that's about it. Like, everything else is, like, them becoming friends, like, in the middle of a war zone or whatever. Like, you know, Tango Cash style.
Hey, Scrubs. They're platonic friends forever.
That is true.
They love each other.
I'll spare...
Which Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? I don't know.
I'll spare you, like, one of my favorite Scrubs moment. But, anyway, The Wholesome Bromance is my number three.
Yeah. All right. My number three is when Ram is thrown into jail, or he's caught after he helps him escape, and then, we only feed him once a week. Let's go see him. And he's like doing pull-ups and stuff.
Yeah. He's jacked. He's like Nick Cage doing the upside down push-ups.
Yeah. I think you need to eat some protein and stuff to help you maintain muscle, but whatever. I'm going to do that. And then he said, down, you put him in the hole and he's in the hole. Anyway, he goes to see, he saves him. First of all, I was upset because he was doing the knocking and he gets it. And he's just, stick your fingers out of the hole, man. You would have been a lot easier for him to find you.
Also, the lighting in that scene was cracking me up because it was like, we're supposed to assume that it's actually dark and nobody can see them, but it might as well be like in the middle of the afternoon because and he's wearing white pants too. Like as he's crawling, as he's doing the whatever crawl, the
Arby crawl.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway, so he goes to save him, and they have to address the fact that his legs hurt, or they're just atrophied, or whatever, from being in the hole. And they're like, nope, no problem. We showed this in the montage, the bromance montage. Yeah, they just ride your shoulders. And oh my god, they it turned into Goro, and there's four-armed creature running around. And, it was so goddamn ridiculous. And then like the reloading the guns with everything that was going on, I was like, what the fuck is happening here? I don't know. This is ridiculous and awesome at the same time. When he like held the gun up, and the guy reloaded it and shot and climbing the tower and flipping her over. Oh my god, I was confused but loving every second of it.
That was incredible.
Yeah. So, fighting on his shoulders part at the end, or towards the end. All right, Alex, number two.
My number two is the Natu dance. Oh my gosh, this deserved to win all of the Oscars. Just this dance number and the music is incredible. Like, first off, I know this was a Tollywood movie, so it had to have a dance number in there somewhere. So when that stupid white colonist was starting some shit with Beam, it's like, oh man, don't. Things are not going to end well for you, bro. You're going to get the shit beat out of you. And things just get, and even before the song started, just things get progressively worse for this guy. Because then Rem starts drumming on the tray and everything. It's like, oh shit, this guy's going to get killed. There's no way this white British dude is going to leave alive from this dance number. And then at the very end, the slow-mo walk and Beam... like, he gets helped up and he does that little turn at the end to rest on his shoulder. He's like, oh, have you heard of the Desi Notch? Oh, my God. I almost blew up. You know that one meme? The I'm not a rapper meme? With the gif? Oh, my gosh. I felt like that. It was like, oh, this guy's... his soul's going to leave his body. He's going to be atomized into the known universe. There's no chance. This guy's leaving alive. Oh, and the dance number did not disappoint. And that white colonist died from extreme embarrassment. The end.
We never see him again, so yeah.
Yeah, he's just dead. He's dead. He was so embarrassed.
Died.
This is my number two, so I'll talk about it as well. Yeah, it was just, I'm not a big fan of dance numbers in movies. But this one worked for me. Really enjoyed it. The suspender part was pretty goddamn hilarious.
Oh, that was so much fun.
And their footwork and everything was going. I have no idea what they were doing. How they're smiling the whole time they're doing this dancing too. It's a little weird, but it's better than just having concentration face going on, I guess. And yeah, and then just all the extras dancing in and everything. It was pretty dang cool. Yeah, I just... Yeah. The way the extras are incorporated into everything. It's pretty dang cool. And I mean, just how it started. I mean, it kind of starts like a West Side Story. Oh, I do the tango. I do the flamenco. I do the swing. And then...
Do the free. God.
I will say that I am kind of impressed that all the white dudes were able to pick up the kicks pretty perfectly at the end. It's like, how do they know how to do that? But then they all get beaten to a pulp. Through dance.
Yeah, and then I think we served. And Ram...
Yeah, sure as shit got served. Oh my gosh.
And then Ram throwing the dance off at the end. Yeah. It's a good wingman.
Bro. Yeah, it's the ultimate wingman.
Arguably throwing nails in the middle of the road was kind of like a... objectively evil thing to do, but he did it for a good cause, so... Mm-hmm.
I still find that the romance between Beam and Jenny, no, they never have an idea what either of them were saying the entire time.
Yeah. She's adorable, by the way.
Yeah. I like they're speaking through the heart. Yeah. That's how they could understand each other.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number one, Alex.
Wait, my number two was the...
Oh, yeah, Scott's number two.
Oh, sorry, yeah, we skipped Scott.
So my number two was the forest fight. Like, covered a lot of it, but just the, like, if you were to call this an action movie, this is like the climax where everybody gets the comeuppance. Mm-hmm. The one Nebushi, British, like, A, whatever, Like, he gets his comeuppance when he gets stabbed. I did laugh out loud at the idea of the British Special Forces. Like, I'm not sure what year this takes place, but in defense, there was no such thing as the British Special Forces. But
I think it's in the 20s, I think, is what it's
supposed to be. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously pre-World War II. I couldn't tell, like, if World War I had happened yet, but I could have Googled this, but I didn't. Just the legless arrows, just the endless quiver that he's got. Yeah, it's cool. Just the dude's getting picked off. The song the whole time about how, like, like, oh, it's he's the ultimate warrior, but it's also in his bloodline, which still really doesn't explain anything. But it's like,
yeah, because he's descended from the god of the hunt.
Yeah, something like that.
That was his statue where he got healed. That's why he's got all these powers.
And the other guy is like the tiger of whatever, as the song goes, and gets the spear, and he somehow gets the spear back even after he throws it. Like, they don't show that. But
don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't need to worry about it. But yeah, just the car, like, this is like commando level shit. Like, I think Alex said it, or just grinning from ear to ear for that entire sequence, like, worth the price of admission, as it were. Yeah, just good stuff, which again is funny because, like, yes, there's been violence up to that point, but, like, if you watched the scenes without violence, you would never guess that the shit was in this movie, like.
Yeah.
Which is funny to me.
It's like, oh, just some playful rom-com in the 20s.
Also, I did nope. Like the kind of Big Trouble in Little China moment where he just randomly gets the plans for the for the prison from Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how did she get...
All that matters to me now is Jenny.
Like, how did she get those? Like, oh, it's not important. It wasn't easy. the whole fight. And yeah, just look cool with all the fire and the... Like, you see all kinds of bonkers stuff. Like, how they finally get their vehicles at the end. Like, he stops the motorcycle a couple times. yeah, it's just good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned, like, you couldn't tell kind of if you didn't see the gore, the violent shots, whatever, you could know what movie you're watching. Laura came out 3 or 4 times while I was watching this. She's just like, every time I came out here, this movie is totally different than the last time I came out here.
Wait, she comes out during the nacho.
She did. She came out during one of the dance sequence. She came out during, like, I think the torture sequence before he started singing. And then I think toward the beginning, during one of, like, the big action scenes with him and the tiger. And then, like, another scene. She's like, ah, it definitely looks interesting.
That's funny.
All right. All right, now Alex, number one.
My number one is the bonds of friendship in this movie between Beam and Raju. It was fantastic. Like I said, the ultimate bromance. It felt pretty natural why they would be attracted to each other, so to speak.
Yeah, they recognize game recognizes game. Yeah,
damn right. Especially if both beard daddies recognize their game.
God damn, Ram has a nice mustache. Like,
yeah, fuck yeah, he does.
I'm jealous.
Oh, and hair. Mm-hmm. Glorious locks too.
Serio. But yeah, through the whole movie, their friendship is a great cornerstone to build a movie upon. And, man, it's so... when they find out that, oh, he's the guy that I've been hunting and everything after he's healing from the poison, his heartbreak is so bad that it breaks the editing and the physics in the movie. Did you guys notice that?
What happened?
Because he was in the bed and he's still recuperating, but he knows that Beam is the guy that he was hunting, mm-hmm. his brother that he has to arrest for the British. And then as he's getting up from the bed, he's still a little bit weak. So he goes to fall, but then it cuts so that he's falling on top of a bunch of books, but they're in the complete opposite of the room where the shot started.
I did notice that. It was a weird cut. Yeah, okay.
It was. To make it more dramatic, of course, to amp up the drama, which I appreciated.
We just fell a really long way.
Yeah. It's like any other movie, I would have been like scoffing or maybe even turning it off. It's like, what the fuck are they thinking? It was like, nope, I completely buy it. His heartbreak is so bad that he teleported over to the books.
She would have turned it off. We've watched so much shit on this podcast. You haven't turned anything off yet.
I would have been mad if it was a bad movie.
All right. Nice. Scott, number one.
My number one is when they set the animals free when they're raiding the party.
Oh, so cool.
I was not expecting that.
That was like, oh shit, that's what they were doing.
Ridiculous, and I loved it. Not quite stone cold Viking funeral ridiculous, but
I know that's still a but
in the same ballpark. But I loved it, like, and I really like the idea that like they'll kill him too. Like,
yes, like, I did like that.
Like he's got to like make sure that they're leaving him alone to go wreak havoc. And like even the deer gets some comeuppance on like the evil fat Brit.
Yeah. Take that. Start your own motorcycle, idiot.
But yeah, just all of a sudden they pull up and yeah, just let the animals loose and they'd like I wasn't clocking all of the animals, but like it seemed like all of them were just like turned into murder bots. Like they didn't, none of them tried to run away or anything. They just all. I will say, I don't know, Alex. Let me know if you agree with me. The wolf is the weakest of the CG animals.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay,
it's. Well, maybe that worked in the movie's favor that he was the first one that we saw because all the other animals looked a little bit better
just
by comparison. It was the hype, you know what? This one looks. Okay, yeah. Okay. It's like, oh, this looks better than the wolf.
It was doing, the job for the other.
Yeah. The wolf was doing yeoman's work.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. To go back a minute on what you were saying, Alex, about that weird cut where he falls into the books.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he shows up like in a horse-drawn cart with like those four white horses made me laugh because it was like that might have been the most unnecessary thing in the entire movie. Of like, he could have just showed up like in a million different ways, but he shows up in the four white horses. Like, and he's on fire too. Yeah, by the way, yeah, it was great. It was cool. Like they did that thing that.
Hello, lady.
That where you know when we watch all these Marvel movies, like yeah, it's fun to see them like fight the big bad guy. But what are the like best fights? The fun fights is when they fight each other, right? Like in Civil War.
So
it is cool that we do see them go toe to toe in the middle of the movie, which is probably the best single fight. I think they set it up that way too, because everything else is just a bunch of moose really getting murdered. Cool. Yeah, but anyway, the setting the animals free, like just top tier, like rip shit ridiculousness, and I loved it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my number one. I don't think I've ever seen a movie start off better to introduce the villains. They're bad, and they're really bad, and the two protagonists as well as this movie has. It was amazing. These white people go to this village, they steal the little girl, and then no, we're not gonna waste bullets on you, let's bash her over the head. Like, okay, these guys are fucking mean.
Cartoonishly evil. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Then there's this the Indians are trying to get into this the colonial side. They're like, no. Then they send a guy who's Indian, so that's weird. Kicks the shit out of everybody, and then he gets some little water in his face and stomps. This guy is fucking incredible. And then you get this other guy who's fighting a goddamn tiger and a wolf at the same time and doing 80s feats of strength, which is a little unnecessary. That whole the trap thing was a little weird, but whatever. It was awesome. Like I just like, oh, if you're not hooked, like I said, if you don't like that part of the movie, then just don't watch the movie because. Yeah. That's what this movie is. Minus the bromance that you get later on, I guess. But
I was just icing on the cake.
Blown away. And I think I've told you the movie, so if you don't get me right away, and if I'm also already kind of skeptical going in, it's really hard for me, where this was just like, these guys are fucked. These bad guys are fucking dicks. And then, holy shit, this guy's got a mean mustache, and he's kicking the shit out of everybody. He's not going to get out of this. Oh, he did. Who's this guy? At this point, I think by the time they got to Beam, like, right, this guy's going to do something really cool, too. And he did.
He's like the Simpsons, the one Yakuza guy that's just off to the side.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that little guy do anything, and you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it was just one of the best intros to a movie I've ever seen, of setting up your characters and your villain all at the same time, or back to back to back. But like Scott mentioned, you have to wait maybe 5 minutes of credits before you get to that. It's just random in association with this and that and whatever else is going on.
They got a lot of funding for this movie.
All right, that's it. Any honorable mentions?
Just to our main speaking villains, anyways. So Ray Stevenson, who's been in a bunch of things, and obviously Allison Duty. Like they're definitely hamming it up, and it's a lot of fun. So it's worth mentioning.
Has she been in anything besides Last Crusade? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she has, but anything that mainstream.
Let's see.
Think in between.
Major League 2?
Yeah, that's right. We always forget about that.
A View to a Kill?
Yeah, she was Jenny Flex in that.
That was recently.
Yeah, she didn't do a whole lot. In the aughts, she just had like some appearances on TV.
Huh.
Like in shorts and things. So. Yeah.
She was in The Walking Dead? I missed it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The only other honorable mention I had was, which we really didn't talk about, some of the over-the-top violence on here. You start off with the, you know, hitting the mom over the head with the.
I thought she was dead by the way. I was very surprised that she was fine when they go back.
Him getting hit with the boulder right away. That these guys falling on their necks, and it was a weird kind of violence. Like it was definitely showing it, but guys getting shot in the eyes and. Throat stabbings, and it was pretty over the top, but not gory, I guess. I don't know.
They don't dwell on any of it. I think that's the thing. Like, other than like the whipping scene or whatever, or, like the two main characters getting tortured. Other than that, like,
they don't. Yeah, we didn't even go into Rem's flashback.
I think that was like if you're gonna pick something to cut, other than maybe the dance number at the very, very end. Like that whole mandatory. Like those flashbacks I think could have been trimmed down. Honorable note on those the guy that plays the dad, AJ Devgn, I don't know how to pronounce it, Devgn, missing a vowel in there. He was in a rad movie called Singham, where he plays this cop that just slaps the shit out of everybody. Like, you've probably seen, like, GIFs and stuff of him.
Clips,
Like, it's fucking great. Like, like, literally slaps the shit out of people. Like, that's how he dispenses justice. It's good stuff. So, that guy's like a... I have no idea, like, where he fits in, like, the echelon of Tollywood or Bollywood or whatever. But, yeah, that guy's definitely done some stuff.
I guess the one thing I want to talk about, too, is for this movie, whatever. These guys are flying through the air and there's animals. Like, hit their powers come and go when they need them. Like, the whole thing about losing the key when he's trying to break in, but then a minute later he's just ripping, you know, stabbing tigers.
Yeah, it did not make any sense to me, like, how he would have any trouble getting inside the house. Like.
Yeah. Like, that... And then the coincidences of them, you know, becoming friends with the boy in the water, and then them with Sita telling him the whole, you know, finding her and him telling them the whole story. But whatever, let it go.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Was she only in this movie so she could dance with him at the end of the movie? Because
maybe
she's in the dance number at the end more than she is the entire movie. Like, what?
She's kind of there to girl be like here. To be the bridge between the him and the village, though. Until she randomly is in town.
Like, I think they say her name once in that scene you were talking about. Oh, it's like, if I do this for her, and that's it. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, but I'm not complaining. All right. Let's rate it as usual. We rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Alex, what'd you give this movie?
I'm going to have to give this a 7. For me, this was a joy to watch. Like, from the beginning to end, it's an easy... I don't say this often about movies, but this was an easy 3-hour watch. I enjoyed it so much. It's a 7.
Okay. Scott.
Did you call me? You got a little low, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry, okay, Scott.
This is tough. I'll give it a 6. Like, this is something different. Like, maybe not for Tollywood Bollywood, but definitely from what I'm used to seeing, it's definitely cut above other India movies. Just some really well filmed action, as we pointed out, a bromance which we never see, like. some crazy dance numbers. And don't get me wrong, like, I did enjoy the dance number at the end. I'm just saying it could have been like a couple minutes shorter. but not higher, because it's still too long. Like, if they trimmed it down a little bit, I don't know. So 6.
It wouldn't have gotten Oscar nominations, I'll
say. All right, I also give this a 6. It's a very high 6. I can't give a movie I've only seen once a 7. Maybe I have in the past, I don't know. But if I will watch this again, that's a guarantee. And if maybe I'll come back and when we do our 800th episode, we re-rank stuff, I will maybe make it a 7. But for now, it's a 6. And I was not expecting that going into this. So, huzzah!
Huzzah! Cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now it's time to go over our crossover topic, which is...
Good save, Jeff.
What, Alex?
Our top 5 musical dance numbers in movies.
All right.
Or TV shows, or whatever.
Okay, well, what's your number 5?
Right. Yeah, my number 5 is from Zoolander, when Hansel and the evil DJ are breakdance fighting.
Oh, that's good.
Some ridiculous moves, but Hansel ends up winning and gets all the files from the computer.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
I don't remember that. Well, I've barely even seen that movie, so. All right, Scott, number 5.
So I kept mine to non-musical, just, I don't know if you guys did the same, but or non-musical movies, that is.
I did, but indirectly, because I've only watched like one musical, so
it wasn't hard for you.
Yeah.
I was like, I could put La La Land here. But anyways, my number 5 is from the beginning of one of my favorite movies, Kung Fu Hustle. How the Axe Gang has the big dance number out in front of the police station in the beginning of the movie. Just kind of set the tone for what you're getting yourself into. It's bizarre. It's well choreographed. It's weird. It's on the heel of violence, so it's inappropriate, and it's great. So that's my number 5.
Damn, that's good.
All right, I had a hard time with this list because I couldn't think of many. But my number 5, Scott actually mentioned the name of the song in this dance sequence. a few minutes ago. Do you remember what you said?
What did I say?
Footloose.
No.
Yeah.
Scott said, anything goes. That'd be the intro to Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I always, whenever that movie starts, I think it's a really good beginning of the movie. And, yeah, anything goes.
Nice try, Lauche.
Between that whole sequence and then... I always love the gimmick of him chopping the big gong or whatever and running behind you as they're shooting him with the guns. So cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything goes from the beginning of Temple of Doom.
Nice.
Alex, number four.
My number four, and sorry, Jeff, if I'm stealing your number one, but my number four is from the end of Napoleon Dynamite. That was a bit...
I think you meant my number one, but yeah.
I think Scott hates that movie more than me.
Yeah, that movie got very annoying very quickly with a toxic fan base and whatnot. Well, I wouldn't say toxic, just very annoying.
not toxic.
Everybody got, they just got very annoying with both Pedro and all that bullshit. But aside from all that, I really enjoyed this movie. And at the very end, the dance number killed me. You're confusing
vote for Pedro with vote for Trump. Sorry.
Oh.
Jeff talks himself up.
I am. All right, go ahead. Continue.
Nope, that's it. Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay. Scott, number four.
And number four from the greatest rendition of Tequila ever on screen.
Oh, motherfucker.
Number four, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Nice. Where Pee-wee has to get himself out of some hot water by dancing in a bar in front of a bunch of bikers.
Yeah.
Okay. Great job, Mr. Herbin.
My number four is because of a combo meme gif out there.
And like, this is
from Titanic with Kate Winslet and Leo are dancing below. But the gif has her dancing with Arnold from Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, when you get
swinging him around.
I always forget about that gif, then it pops up. Man, I always die it's laughing. So I see that.
Fucking good. Yeah. Well, I'm going to allow this.
But I can't forget it because remember there were that face replacement on gifs that happened during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Matt made one of it. He put his face on one of them, and now whenever the Kings win a game, he posts that in our group chat. We always see it over and over again. Oh, God. But yeah, that's Balenciaga. Her giggling and smiling and having a good time when Arnold just...
have you guys seen the Balenciaga stuff? I know Alex has.
The what?
Balenciaga.
No.
Oh, we'll have to get into it after the...
I don't listen to hip-hop. All right. Alex, number three.
My number three is a classic 90s... dance number at the end of the movie where everybody just knows what they're doing at the school dance, and that would be Encino Man.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. That's pretty Encino good. Man. Hey, don't tax my gig so hard, Court Cruster.
That's a good one. I like it.
Have you guys seen The Long Shot?
I have not.
No.
There's a point in the movie where Charlize Theron does a Pauly Shore impression. So, spoilers.
All right.
That sounds great.
Worth watching.
So you have, I'm assuming no one's going to have this, so I'm going to say it. You have the Encino Man dance better than the Teen Wolf dance.
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen Encino Man more.
Like, I don't know. But I watched Teen Wolf a lot as a kid, but I haven't watched it in a while. Have we done it on the, oh, we did. That was like, I wasn't even on that episode or something.
No,
right?
It was Matt and Trish with me.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think I was there either.
Yeah, you guys weren't either.
You guys just spent an hour and a half talking about that dude's dong.
It was right there.
And the boosh bump.
Thank God I wasn't there for that episode. Oh, shit. I don't think I would have been able to handle Alex Steiner for an hour and a half.
All right. What are we on to? Scott number three?
Yes.
Or Alex number three?
That was my number three. It was okay, Encino Man.
All right, so my number three, this one might actually be on Jeff's list. That would be Pulp Fiction.
Yes. Yeah.
Jackrabbit Slims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Pretty good one.
I'll see for theirs, but a classic scene. The whole, I don't know what you call it, the eyes across, the two fingers across the eye thing. But
the Batusi.
The Batusi. Yeah, yes, the Batusi. Yes. Forget, yeah. We do the Batusi. Yeah. So, yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, nice. All right, my number three is a movie I've only seen a couple times, but it's very famous, A Dirty Dancing, and it'll be the scene at the end. And whatever, it's a good classic scene, I guess. But once again, this comes more from a commercial. This aired a few years ago. I forgot what it was advertising, but it was like two, like a middle-aged couple, you know, put on a few pounds since their younger days, and they're like making dinner, and the song comes on. And they look at each other, kind of. Then they're like, no, we can't do it. And then just out of nowhere, she just comes running at him. And he cannot support her. They just go crashing through the table. Oh, it cracks me up every single time.
Yeah. When I was in the UK in 2017. And this commercial came on TV.
And you had the time of your life.
I had the time of my life. I also don't know what the commercial was for. But all of a sudden, like, He-Man's in a bar. But it's just a bar. Skeletor shows up, and they basically reenact that whole sequence. Like, He-Man and Skeletor are those two characters, and it's the greatest commercial I've ever seen.
What about you being in England? What? That's where you saw it?
Yeah, no, it was like a Euro commercial. Like,
I thought you were in a bar and this happened. People were in cosplay, man, or something.
That would have been the highlight of my entire life. Like, I would never stop talking about that if that had happened. Like, randomly. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
We were in a bar in, God, was it? I always forget our trips. I don't know. Either Paso Robles or Dallas, Texas. I don't know. There were two large Marges and like four Pee Wee Hermans and a couple waitresses from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, like in the bar. Like, there was some kind of Pee Wee cosplay conventions going on, and we're like, where are we?
They're having a convention. In the basement of the Alamo.
At the Alamo, yeah, but we weren't close to the Alamo. But it probably was Texas, and why not? We'll give it that. We'll give it to that. Stars at night. All right.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Alex, mm-hmm. Number two.
My number two is from an animated movie, an animated Disney movie, but not the regular, you know, princess one. This is from Fantasmic, the epic orchestral giant music video. And the Dance of the Hours section with the crocodiles and the hippos.
Oh, the Tchaikovsky?
Yeah. That's like my favorite dance number out of the whole movie. Fantastic. I love Tchaikovsky. It's great.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Did you guys enjoy watching that as a kid? Because I did.
Yeah.
I barely remember watching it. Yeah, I don't think it was on like the regular rotation, but
I was literally Mouse. When are they gonna get to the Mickey Mouse part?
I mean, the night at Bald Mountain, like a kid, I probably didn't want to watch it. It was probably too scary. But
oh, that's it's awesome now.
Yeah, no, as an adult, it's like, wow, this is like super cool. But
the dragon caught on fire.
The dragon caught on fire.
All right, Scott, number two.
My number two is from the Keira Knightley, Joe Wright version of Pride and Prejudice. Scene in roughly the middle of the movie where Lizzie and Mr. Darcy are in Netherfield and they're at odds with each other and they start dancing and like... The camera zooms in on them as they're talking, and then it kind of slowly, well, I'm not sure if it's slowly, but all of a sudden it pans out, and it's just them dancing. It's a really cool sequence. It's my number two. We should, I'm not going to do this to you guys, but I do recommend that version of Pride and Prejudice.
Scott, okay. I didn't read it in high school, and I ain't going to do it for the podcast.
What about Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Maybe that one.
There's probably dancing in that too, so. And kissing.
I just, as we're sitting here doing this, like, I'm sure there's so many classic dances from. Well, maybe you guys saw them in the last few numbers, but, like, my lists are terrible for, like, real dances. Anyway, Flash Dance. when she dances. Either she drops water on herself, or at the end of the movie when she does her audition.
That Irene Cara just passed away this year. Someone who did What a Feeling.
You're what?
The main song in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you said the actress died.
No, oh, no. She's the one that did the song. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Flashdance. A couple good dances in there. I did not see that movie until like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I had no idea what it was about. What I thought it was not what it was. All right, Alex, number one.
My number one is from an Arnold movie. Of all movies.
Oh, sorry, time out. During the bromance scene, did you expect one of them to feed the other one ice cream or have
one of his nose, feed a deer? Stab someone
feed a deer or something. That's kind of what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Anyways, True Lies, The Tango.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. It's great. I love The Tango, not The Tango.
Do you know the tingle? Nice. Do it. Do some more. Scott, number one.
My number one is... So, they're on stage performing when this happens, but young Frankenstein...
Frankenstein!
Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, damn it. That's good.
Which... Pound for pound is definitely in the conversation for the funniest scenes of all time, at least for me. Just Peter Boyle like doing the slow like tap 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 after the fact. Oh god, like that scene is absolute gold. And then when the monster runs off and he's still trying to save it, he starts like tap dancing. Oh god, if you've not seen Young Frankenstein. Go do it.
All right. My number one, Scott already mentioned it, was, or someone did, Pulp Fiction, with the Jackrabbit Slims sequence. Yeah, just a good dance number. Good movie. All there is. All right. I can't believe, like I said, I'm sure there's people out there just mad at us. We don't have West Side Story or Grease or singing in the Rain or any of those.
We'll say, like, again, we were trying to avoid musicals. Speaking of which, the ending to 40-Year-Old Virgin, when they're...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's kind of singing, of like, it is a musical number, but doing the Age of Aquarius. The Staying Alive in Airplane could have made my list, but it just barely did.
Oh, that should have been.
Yeah. Back to the Future. They're doing the slow dance. Is really good.
That's a really good
one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, those are my honorable mentions. Staying Alive!
The ending of Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, they were just walking. I wouldn't say they were dancing.
They do like little dance steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The ending of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah.
Go Ninja, Go!
Everybody dance. I'm waiting for Guffman. Alright, I had one honorable mention, Clerks 2 has a random...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The Bollywood-style dance number in the middle
Motown,
of the
Motown, yeah, the ABC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sawyer Dawson dancing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. All right. It's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, in the world of hockey, the Seattle Kraken have beat the Dallas Stars in overtime in the... Whatever. What do they got? The finals in their series.
It's the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I said. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about, and I can't believe, you know, I'm such a big sports guy, I didn't notice this before, and I can't believe I didn't, that the Seattle Kraken almost have the greatest sports logo of all time. Does the Seattle S look a little bit familiar to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, bringing it up, I don't know a lot about the Kraken.
Yeah, Alex, I don't know if you know this. The Kraken, this is their second year in the league, so there's a reason why you haven't really noticed their logo or heard of them before.
Oh, are they a completely new team, like the Golden Knights, or were they another team and they changed their name?
No, completely new team. Like, last year was their first year. This is their second year in the league.
I see. Well, they could have had the greatest logo of all time, but they flubbed it a little bit. Because as soon as I saw this, this almost looks like that very stylized diamond S that from everybody knew how to draw in high school in yearbooks. Yeah. Yes. It's almost there.
That's probably, no, where it's probably the inspiration.
Yeah, they fucked it up. So it doesn't look as great. It looks okay. But they should have just owned it and said, hey, man, this is what we're doing.
It's hilarious. Laura taught Charlotte how to draw that the other day at the restaurant. Now every time she comes over, she shows it to her.
Yeah. It's great. Nobody knows where that started. I think some guy, like some writer, was trying to do some research on where the origins of that S began, and he couldn't find it.
It's in our DNA.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So one little weird bit of trivia, which, I don't know, Jeff probably knows this, but I never realized this. In hockey, it's the Stanley Cup final singular. But like in the NBA, it's the NBA finals.
There's only one final.
There is only one final. It's true. But there's more than one game in the finals. So there you go.
Yeah. That's weird.
Anyway.
Also, people get mad. You don't win. Like the Kings have not won multiple Stanley Cups. They've won the Stanley Cup twice.
You can't. Because it's the same cup, right?
Yeah, it's a big thing. Speaking of the Kinks, they freaking lost the goddamn Edmonton Oilers. Fuck Canada. Let's go.
At least at least the Bruins lost. So, yeah, that's fun.
That's pretty epic. They set the record for the best NHL season of all time. It's not apples to apples, but yeah, they lost to the Florida Panthers. Awesome.
Built for the regular season, not for the playoffs.
Yeah, injuries and timing. Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, and like I think last year Florida had the best record in hockey and got eliminated in the first round. So
it is what it is. Just try to be the best during the regular season.
Like the second or third seed is probably.
Yeah.
I think they hit like in the last 15 or 18 years, the first place team has not advanced past the first round or something like that.
The curse. It was weird.
All right, anyway, it's time for NEM News.
Yeah.
It was, so just one bit of news for me. We'll move on to you guys. There's another writer's strike.
Yay.
So
more shitty, unscripted television in our future.
Yeah, I remember this really sucking the last time. I forget, like, exactly what... I know Scrubs got hit by this. I'm trying to remember what else that I was watching at the time. There's a lot of fun.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. There was a fun bit of trivia that I was reading today where. So I have not watched Breaking Bad, but I know who Dean Norris is. Like, according to the trivia, they were going to kill him off, but the season ended early because of the writer's strike. So that's like his character got saved because of that, which is, I think, a great bit of television John lore. Security. But yeah, this sucks. Like, I don't, like now I barely watch anything that isn't like on YouTube, outside of sports ball, that isn't streaming anyways. So yeah, I don't know if this is going to affect things. Like I do watch some of the late night stuff, but usually just clips of it. So I don't think it'll affect me that much. I do enjoy Last Week Tonight. So that's going to be kind of a bummer. But yeah, like we'll see how this affects things. Like there's,
can only help Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, like, exactly, that's exactly what I was going to say though. Like we'll see what, you know, as we go ahead with these, Marvel and Disney TV shows. Oof,
I really hope they finish writing Andor season two.
Marvel movies. I mean,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Yeah, the second season of Game of Thrones. Like, I think they already started filming that, right?
The dragon shows.
Yeah, the dragon shows. I don't know about...
Rings of Power.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, we'll see. I wonder, like, how this is going to impact the DC stuff, because they're just kind of getting the ball rolling on that again. Like, this could...
Well, James Gunn is writing everything, and he's billed as a director, so I don't think...
I don't know how that works, like, if you're just allowed to do that. Like, if he would do that. Yeah, it's... Like, it had a big impact last time. Hopefully, you know, it gets resolved a little quicker this time around. People get back to it. I mean, you know, I want them to get what they want, too. Like, I hope it works out. So, yeah. Writer's strike. It's going to suck for viewers for a little while, but, yeah, hopefully... The industry's better off in the long run for this. It does suck that this happened again, though. Like,
I know.
Like, it felt like the last one just happened.
But it didn't. It was like 15
years
ago.
Yeah, I know. It was actually a while ago. But
I was thinking the same thing. This just happened. And they're like, oh, yeah, this happened 15 years ago. I was like, oh.
But, like, you don't, like, maybe the other guilds just don't have as much, like, clout, power, or whatever to do this kind of stuff. Or the other, like, you never heard, like, the editor's guild going on strike. Or like whatever.
Yeah, because they know better.
Just like all those other guys, like on those sets, are union. Like all the people doing like the electrical work, the gaffers, like all those people.
Mm-hmm. The best boys.
Yeah, you never hear about them striking, so I don't know.
Key grips.
I know.
Maybe they should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laura's really good friends with somebody who's in the business, like as a second unit director, and we were over at their house, and he was saying like Monday was taking place a vote. This is a while ago. Like, we were at their house on a weekend, I think the Directors Guild was really close to voting on a strike, but they figured it out and they didn't do it. So I think it does happen. Just
they just think the writers are more disposable,
or it's different. I guess when I was reading, this whole thing is about the producers treat them like freelancers. And don't really hire writers, right? They don't get benefits. They don't get full-time salaries.
Yeah, they're just like paid for the day kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah. Write this story for us and get out of here. Here's some money. And they want better stability, and which is understandable.
Yeah.
I feel like the late night crews... I don't know. Like,
for late night crews, it might be different because that's a constant. That's a
365
job.
Right. Or... I mean, maybe they want to get paid more, but like I watch Seth Meyers a lot, and it might just all be an act, but it seems like he gets along well with his like staff, based on like all the different stuff he does and the different bits.
Well, he probably does, but he's part of the writing staff too.
Right,
probably.
Right.
It's so the producers,
right? But like I guess my point is, it's like you said, Jeff. It's just different for everybody. Yeah, yeah. So. Anyway, kind of bummer news. Hopefully it gets resolved soon. Alex, anything you wanted to go over?
Yeah, I beat The Witcher 3 and all of the DLCs. I highly recommend it.
Off to beat The Witcher.
Yeah, the wonderful Witcher of Oz.
Whatever country.
Yeah, there's even... in the regular campaign, the Witcher 3 had shades of Mass Effect 2. I won't spoil it, but it was like a great section, and I thought it was towards the end of the game. Nope, not even close. So I was pleasantly surprised.
I think I own that game. I just never.
Yeah, make sure that you have the DLCs before you buy them again.
Who's the best girl? Is it Triss or is it Yennefer?
I went with Yen.
Okay, it seems to be the general consensus, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's her side quests also are really cool. So I just went with Yen. It was great. So I highly recommend The Witcher 3. And now, you know, I like to take this pause in between like a huge game, an epic saga like that, and just like, okay, I feel like playing something completely different that's shorter. So I latched on to this game called Chorus, and I'm playing that on the Xbox Game Pass. And it's a very arcadey space shooter. It's not a space sim, because the controls are very simple, but it's still very challenging. And it has this mechanic where, I don't know why more, like, space shooters like the Xbox series, the X-Wing, the Star Wars series, or anything like that, does this more? But it has this thing where you can go into a drift, which of course makes sense in space, where you go into one direction and then you press the RB button or a button and the plane like shifts because it's an alien spaceship you're controlling, and you can still move, like point in many different directions. It's omnidirectional, but you're still drifting in the same direction. So you're able to pull like some crazy fucking moves while you're doing like space combat. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. So I recommend Chorus.
Sounds like what Starbuck used to do with Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Hit the brakes.
It's very galactic-y. Yeah.
Anything else, Alex?
Nope.
All right.
That's it for now.
Jeff?
I can't think of anything. Just the quick story that I told you. You mentioned video games. I walked into a...
Why the long face?
I walked into a... What do you just call storing at food? A restaurant. It's not a restaurant.
The market. You went to the market, Jeff.
Yeah. No. What? I'm serious. Like,
grocery store?
A place where you go to the counter. No, you just go to the counter to order food.
A diner?
No, it's a restaurant, deli. But it's not a sit-down restaurant. It's a
takeout?
Deli?
Takeout, sure. Okay, takeout place. I just walk in and I just hear these two guys talking about Secret of Mana. And I was like, what the F am I listening to? What year is this? And how old are you guys? It just cracked me up. And I know, I post this in chat and Alex said I should have mentioned all this other stuff, which I don't remember anything about that movie.
Oh, you don't remember Captain Duck? No. He's just a random bad guy. His name is Captain Duck and that always cracks me up.
Isn't there like different ranks depending on what part of the game you're in?
Yes.
Like Lieutenant
Duck. Private Duck, Lieutenant Duck, Captain Duck. Oh man, I should replay those. I still haven't. I've only played, you know, Secret of Mana 3 or Seiken Densetsu 3.
It's on. So there's a.
I know Trials of Mana.
There's a. What's it called?
A remake.
I figured it's called on the Switch, but it's in the West. It's what effectively is Final Fantasy Adventure. 1 and 2.
Oh yeah, and that
Final Fantasy Legend, 1, 2, and 3, and Secret of Mana.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why those are packed together, but that way. But there's a package like that on the Switch.
Yeah, so I should also play that again.
Final Fantasy Legend games are really cool too, like the old Game Boy. Anyways.
Nice. Also, speaking of real games, that new Jedi Survivor game's out.
Oh, yeah.
I might get it. I might not. I'm not sure.
Oof. Wait. If you're going to get it on PC, wait, because I hear it's unplayable right now.
Okay.
Which is weird, because usually stuff is a lot more stable and runs better on PC.
Are you being facetious, right?
No. Has that changed?
No.
Was that Arkham Knight?
Pretty much every AAA release recently has been like a hot mess. So it's like expected. Like, so yeah. I'm just setting myself up for like anger and sorrow. But when Starfield comes out, like that's Bethesda title. So like they do not have a good track record when it comes to that sense.
Mm-hmm. Star Fox?
Yeah.
Do a barrel roll. Starfield.
But
then careless.
Like, surprisingly, like Cyberpunk was actually pretty clean for me on PC.
I'd like to mention that
you can say whatever you want about it being rushed or not delivering what they promised, but it was a pretty clean experience for me for the most part, other than some foliage issues.
There was a soft lock mission, but...
Yeah, I don't know. There were bugs, but it wasn't like unplayable.
Unplayable.
Yeah, that's all I got. I was watching playoff hockey all this time, so I really didn't do anything else.
Just one correction here from listener Daniel. When we were talking about the final episode of Mando, somebody mentioned that the other woman Mandalorian that's been in there, somebody called her Becky Lynch, because I mentioned she was a wrestler. It's actually Sasha Banks.
Jesus, you're right. Who the fuck is Becky Lynch?
According to Daniel, Becky Lynch is stereotypical pale Irish.
Becky Lynch.
Worth also mentioning is that...
Oh, no, she is a wrestler. Okay, yeah. At least I got that part.
Daniel said he was also impressed that the story items were your biggest issue in an episode with Lizzo and Jack Black. So, just tossing it out there. So, thank you, listener Daniel.
Yeah, yes. Thanks, Daniel.
For correcting us on that.
Thanks, Daniel. You're all right.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like we're good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I always apologize to your tigers.
We at Hans Shot First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shot First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.
If you're white, don't challenge an Indian man to a dance-off.
Especially not when it's matcha.
Yeah, just don't.
Alex, I want to challenge that guy to a dance-off.
No, I'd get my ass kicked.
So there you go.
I wouldn't do it either.
And what if it was... Yeah, I can't think of any good white dancers either. Never mind. Who's a good white dancer?
Jabberwockies? The Jabberwockies, maybe?
Magic Mike?
Yeah, Channing Tatum's? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. He'd still lose, but at least he'd put up a better fight.